juvenile mental health has been a huge crisis that has long been coming and struggling to deal with that. And the juvenile violence is really just a byproduct of the core issue that we don't have a lot of community programs anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't have you don't see community centers that teens can go to anymore. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of mentor programs, but a lot of them aren't accessible to certain areas that that parents are struggling. Just right now, I mean, most parents are trying to struggle to do the cost of living, working three jobs, so they don't always have the availability to be there for their children. So it's up to the community to be the answer to this.
Where is that? Where's community anymore? You know, I was sharing it a couple of times where when I was coming up, I had a Miss Jessie. And a Miss Jessie would just be, you know, she would be below the porch watching us as my mom were working. With my father passed early when I was young, and so it was just my mom raising 7-8 of us. And so, but Miss Jessie would watch us, and she would tell, and we would get in trouble. Where are the Miss Jessies now? That, you know, you can't even get involved in another family's business because people don't want you in their business, right? But it really does take community to come back in order for us to save our community. We're lost. We are our loss. We're losing generations. We're losing futures. And it is a mess. And I just love it when, so I'm going to do a quick rewind. When the shooting took place in April in Old Greenwich. And so I just like felt safe. You know, God just gives me these little visions, right? And so I, about 3 o'clock in the morning, he woke me up and said, sound the alarm. You can't, FailSafe cannot do this alone. Although FailSafe has been in existence since 2009, and our goal has been to empower and restore hope to families and individuals impacted by incarceration and to prevent generations of incarceration. I have to say, I think we've done a pretty decent job. We could do better with our with the inmates and the returning citizens. But when we talk about the youth, that has been a struggle. And so when that shooting took place and God said, sound the alarm, you can't do this alone. That meant you can't do this alone. Bring the community in. And the first person I text was my pastor, because I do believe we need church back into all of this. And then I texted Antoine Gay. I have to bring him here one of these days, but Antoine Gay. And specifically because of his brother, Marvin Gay, had this song out, Save the Youth. Save the children. And I was like, okay, coach, this is, and I called him coach, this is what I'm hearing. And then, of course, I called on Sergeant Curtis. And he showed up, Deputy Margarita. They showed
Margarita
up.
Sponsy,
so, yes. So it's the church, it's the community, it's law enforcement. It's we all have to work together in order to save our community. There's no way these little people should have this much control over us.
Yeah.
These are little people that when I was coming up, I had a fear of my parents. You didn't say certain things. You didn't talk back. You didn't do things the way that things are happening now. But now, and I was just sharing with y'all, and I'll share it now live, that I was in this Bible study, and we were talking about one word, the word fear. That's the problem. There's no more fear and no more reverence of God and of authority. And we can't keep allowing that to happen. Even us, do we have a fear that we won't stand up to these young people? Mm-hmm. Are we afraid? So anyway, I'll keep, I'll just go on and on and on, because it is a burden. It's just, it's burdening me, because there's absolutely, I have a little grandson, 5 year old, who has to live in this world. And so if we don't get a grip on what's happening, I shared something, and I'm going to be quiet. I think I'm going to try to be quiet. But I shared something.
If that happens, that would be the first time.
I did. So. I posted something that I thought was so profound, and I said, let this go viral. People let things go viral. But it says, to all my young men, let this soak in your mind. Before you pull this trigger, trying to prove a point, go sit in the bathroom for 23 hours and imagine doing this for the next 25 years of your life. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's going to happen. If I wish young people would hear that, because you might think, what I'm hearing is that they're saying, you're only going to have to do a couple of years and you'll be okay when you get out. No, it's not that simple. Nope. I went to Red Onion and I visited Red Onion prisons, 23-year-olds begging to get me off this mountain because my crime wasn't that bad. I was just drugs. I don't know why I'm up on this mountain. It doesn't matter once you're in the system. They have to stop. Yep. Anyway,
I've we had an incident with a young man when I was a school resource officer, and he got into some trouble. I needed him to sign some documents, and I asked his mom. I said, "Hey, I need to come. He has to sign for this. You have to be there."
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, I work three jobs from Friday till Monday. I don't get back home until Monday." I was like, "Well, where does he stay with?" "Oh, he stays with friends. He stays with whoever he can find to stay with."
Mm.
And I didn't blame him. My mom, you know, it's the cost of living is insane right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She had other kids. Working three jobs was the only way she could even manage to make the amount of money to even afford a very, you know, low income housing.
That's a heart.
But fast forward about a couple months later, and there's a traffic stop done. And there's a firearm in the car, and it was three adults and this juvenile.
Mm.
And the only reason that the juvenile was in the car was because those three adults knew they had some paraphernalia and a gun. And so when they got pulled over, they put it in his backpack. They gave it to him, put it in his backpack. They weren't his friend. They weren't.
No way.
They befriended him, but they weren't his friend. The whole reason that those three adults had that juvenile with them was that if they did run to law enforcement, he would be able to get, yeah, he takes the rap because he's a juvenile. Oh, he's a juvenile. You'll just, you know, you'll get deferred. Oh, you'll just go to juvie. It's fine. You'll get right out. And you see that. So instead of having a positive, you know, mentor, instead of having a positive role model, someone that's going to encourage and build them up, they're literally using juveniles as scapegoats to put everything on so that they get very minimal, you know, punishment and charges. And the juvenile's like, okay, yeah, you're good. You'll just go to juvie for a couple months.
Yeah,
then you'll be out. You'll be right back with us. And these kids are still, nothing's changed with children. Juveniles are still yearning for attention.
Yes.
They're still yearning for lessons. They're still learning for mentorship. It's just right now I feel like the mentorship they're getting is the negative side because we don't have enough of the positive side combating it.
This Saturday, 11 to 2, at Hope Aglow Empowerment Church.
Yes.
You've got a big event.
Yes, we do. You know, the thing of it is, I think, Ted, is that many times we see all of these activities. Something happens, right? And you have an event or an activity, and you stop. And you go on with life until something happens again. This is different because we are sounding the alarm on youth violence, and we are starting at the place where what I consider a mass shooting in our community took place in Old Greenwich. And so Old Greenwich is asking for us to be there, and so and we're coming. You know, we asked if we come, and they said yes, and they are asking us to be present to help them as they walk through this unfortunate, traumatic experience that they had back in April. So on August 9th coming, we are sounding the alarm at Ground Zero. That's what we named it, Ground Zero. This is just the beginning for Planning District 16. But we're not stopping there. We're going to have some activities, some resources. We're going to be there. We have law enforcement, Germana. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We have Richland Baptist. We have, I forget the name of this community, but they're bringing out clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have RACSB. We just have a bunch of faded-in companies coming out doing free haircuts for the families, which is a big deal because this is just before school starts, right?
Yeah.
We're going to have backpack drive. We have the food drives coming out, the Fredericksburg food banks coming out. So this is a community event to let the people of Old Greenwich know that we're here to support them. And it's not just going to be this one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is also going to be healing for them. We're coming in and we're going to ask them, what do they need?
Yeah.
How can we help you? Where the last time we heard that home that was shot up is still boarded up. Let us help you fix that. Let us help you get a playground. So if anybody's listening who has some property out there, we need a recreation center for these kids. Right now, their playground is in the middle of the streets. So we're coming in to help this community, to help heal this community in whatever ways that we can. And then from there, we're moving on to the next community and the next community and the next community. But Old Greenwich, Ground Zero, Saturday, August 9th, 11 o'clock
to
2 o'clock p.m. And again, we'll have law enforcement will be there. We just have the community coming in. We're excited about this. We want those family members to know that your family, your community is your family, and we care.
Yeah, and the thing is that a lot of times when these incidents happen, these tragedies happen, you know, a lot of people, okay, you know, thoughts and prayers, maybe bring some resources. And then, like she said, it stops. It goes away. And then, like, okay, the neighborhood's good to go. But the neighborhood's not good to go. Anyone who's experienced any kind of mass shocking tragedy, like seeing, you know, young life taken, seeing the you know, blood still on the sidewalk, the tarp over the body. I mean, these are not just, you know, grown-ups that saw this. Kids saw this. Mm. And kids process trauma differently than adults do. Even adults, PTSD, things like that, it might be months later, years later, until something triggers and you flash back to that moment in Old Greenwich when you saw that horrible thing. Kids are completely different. So we can't just come out and just say, you know, hey, one time, hey, a week later, you know, we're here, hope the best, here's some resources, you know, call some services. It has to be a continuous, hey, when this happens, we need to check on them. We need to constantly be like, hey, I know it's been a year. How about the year anniversary? Because after, you know, you witness a shooting and you see life taken in front of you, the next year, that day will stick out.
That's right.
That day, you might not realize it. It might be subconscious. You're just like, why am I so on edge today?
That's right.
A year later. And so the resources that Failsafe and that Sound the Alarm are bringing, the intentionality of going, hey, we want to do two neighborhoods, you know, in each jurisdiction, you know, each county, each city, each, we want to do two neighborhoods and we want to build that relationship and follow up, is amazing, because it's not done right now. We don't have that. Mm-hmm. Out of all the neighborhoods in Stafford County, I have maybe four of like over 150 neighborhoods, maybe four do an actual neighborhood watch where like neighbors actually walk around and just check on each other and just keep an eye out. So if the neighborhoods aren't able to do it or not willing to do it, you know, maybe it is up to the community to come out and say, hey, you know, maybe you don't have the funding for it. Well, we're going to bring the services to you. We're going to bring this to you. And if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But yeah, it's the intentionality of going, we as a community need to come back together from all aspects. Again, law enforcement, schools, the libraries involved, and just, you know, everyday people. It doesn't matter if you're a part of an organization or not. If you want to come out to this and just say, hey, I've experienced this before. I was involved in this before. I've witnessed this before. Mm-hmm. Just to tell someone, I've been through it and it'll be okay. Like you will come out the other side of this. Just an encouraging word from just a person. You don't have to be a part of an organization. Community is everybody.
That's right.
Ted, you can come out and just give someone a hug and then leave. And you have done more than I think a lot of people have done probably in years.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just to say. I feel for you, whatever I can do.
Yeah. You were there.
Just telling a neighborhood, hey, I know this neighborhood has some issues. Maybe this neighborhood has a bad reputation. Mm-hmm. Stafford, there's a couple neighborhoods that get a bad reputation. Mm-hmm. The people in those neighborhoods aren't bad.
No.
The people in those neighborhoods, even that neighborhood has a bad, that's a bad neighborhood. You don't want to go through there. Well, there's people that don't maybe want to live in there, but they don't have another option.
Yeah.
There's people that are like, I wish resources would come to us, but resources are scared to come to us.
Mm-hmm.
You get all these misconceptions about it, but there's still people in there. There are still families in there. There are kids in there. We can't just be afraid to go into a neighborhood because of things like this. We have to find the brave people that are willing to go, you know what? Hey, there was just a shooting in that neighborhood, and we're willing to come out because those people need help. And no one's going to help them if we don't get up and actually go
help.
We
have to take a stand.
Yeah.